You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome to Nightmare on Film Street, horror for the casually obsessed. I'm Kim.
I'm John.
And this week, we are continuing our viral found footage series, closing it out with Lake Mungo from 2008.
We're going to get into full details, everything we thought about this movie. Spoiler alert, we loved it. It's a really good found footage movie, and it was a delight to revisit.
A delight? We brought a lot of doom and gloom, so prepare to be in a mood halfway through today's episode.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, the movie made me feel things. That's all I'm looking for in a movie. So it was a delight. It was a delight to be this depressed.
How romantic to be dead.
Before we get into it, though, Kim, you got three good things about Lake Mungo for anybody that hasn't seen it, hasn't heard of it?
Absolutely. Part one, it's found footage. Fucking found footage. So leave your pretenses at the door and watch this like you're watching a documentary and fully immerse yourself in it and trick yourself into believing it's real. If there are any horror movies that you can really let yourself get scared by, it is found footage. And this film really plays out like a documentary and you can really get taken away by it and how it unfolds if you just pretend that it is. So
Yeah. Let
yourself treat this like it is found footage.
I think that's probably how it was presented in the TikTok challenge. I think you're supposed to watch it believing that it's real. So it's definitely the right way to do it.
Yeah. Number two, it's got a mystery. And it's a paranormally mystery. So if you're into like ghost hunting, if you were into, I would say, movies like The Others or even Silence of the Lambs, where you're trying to get to an objective, you're trying to understand the final end goal and what it all means. Lake Mungo's got that.
Okay, yeah, way more complex of a found footage movie than I thought it was going to be. You're
absolutely
right.
And you don't feel like you're on a mystery until all of a sudden you're on this ride and you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then part three we kind of touched on is, I would say, that it makes you think. It's got a really, I guess, emotional core and some really dark themes that I don't know if anybody is going to come out of this without having to at least ruminate on them a little bit. It gets pretty, like, existential in a way. So prepare to think things that you maybe, like, doors you have maybe closed and tried not to look into.
It's
death and dying and stuff. But before we fall in too far into the doom and gloom, we like to talk about what's been going on in the horror world, and specifically yours and mine. So, John, what's been keeping you creepy this week?
We got a lot. We got a lot to cover here, and we're going to try, I promise, we're going to try and just slam this out real quick, real fast. Prey came out. We haven't seen it yet.
We're watching it tonight.
Really fucking excited to see this movie.
I'm super stoked. Our TV broke today, and we bought a new one, so it's going to christen the new TV, and I'm very excited.
This is the way to do it.
Yeah. Also, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies comes out in our region. I think it's already out in, like, you know, like the hot markets where all the cool people are. And if you're a cool person, then I guess you've already seen it.
Yeah, if you live on the east or west coast of the United States, you've probably already seen it.
Yeah,
but for the rest of us.
So we're going to check that out tomorrow. And I'm very, 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 very fucking excited. I love the whole vibe. I'm very excited for, like, a gamey horror. Also, just party. Like, I don't know if it's a slasher, but it gives me, like, that kind of vibe where we're going to be picking people off one by one. And I am stoked.
Keep an eye out on Kim's Twitter account to see what she thinks about that one. Also, heads up, this week, coming to Netflix, if you don't want to go to the fucking movie theater, Day Shift.
That's this week?
That is this fucking week. Oh. Jamie Foxx is like a John Wick-y vampire hunter. I can't fucking wait. Snoop Dogg's in this movie.
I'm so stoked.
It looks amazing.
Holy shit, we are being spoiled this week.
Yeah, this is a good week. Last week, though, we were still in the thick of Fantasia. We were covering that festival remotely. A whole shit ton of movies we covered. And we've also got we also have a writer of ours, Chris. Shout out to Chris, who's on the streets in Montreal watching all the movies that we can't because, you know, they only played in theater. So, I mean, you know, head over to nofspodcast.com to check out all the reviews. We've got a few interviews as well for all the movies that we covered there. Glorious is one of them, which was a really weird fucking movie. movie.
Yeah, that one's super chirpy, and it's landing on Shudder very fucking soon.
Yeah, I think next week.
I don't know why
week.
I had to swear.
Yeah, that's right. That's this kind of movie. It got me so excited, I'm dropping F-bombs. It's kind of a Lovecraftian story. It's a really contained movie. It takes place inside one rest stop bathroom. Honestly, the less you know about it, the better.
Yeah, just no more of this description.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons is in it. He plays the voice of a mysterious person. Keep an eye out for this one on Shudder. It's coming soon.
Another movie we really both enjoyed at the festival was Cult Hero. How do I even describe this film? Picture Dog the Bounty Hunter, and he busts cults.
Yeah.
And he's a cult buster. And one day he busts a cult that happens to suicide on his watch, and he becomes a has-been. His show is canceled, and so is he. So flash forward into the future, he teams up with the most unlikely person, a Karen realtor, and together they are trying to rescue her husband from a cult that he has joined. It is such a zany comedy, super fun. There's also a ton of like gore and violence and stuff. So
hell
like,
yeah.
I would say it's more comedy than horror, but it does not skimp on the horror. There's so much to love about this movie, and it is just a feel good movie through and through.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed at a movie so hard in a really long time, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, the oddball, goofy characters from start to finish. The lead guy is like a mix between Dog the Bounty Hunter and Macho Man Randy Savage. He talks like this. He's gonna bust these fucking cults. The lead actress who plays the Karen is incredible.
She is so good.
She is the fucking funniest person alive.
She gets the Karen down. Plus, even like Karen and a realtor. It's such a gem.
Yeah, Liv Collins. She's incredible in that movie.
But that's Cult Hero, and I don't know if we have a release date yet, but I think Raven Banner will be releasing it.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely coming out soon. It's gonna be real easy to get a hold of. They're the same people that put out Psycho Goreman. Is the biggest sell that I can give for that. But I mean, it's directed by Jesse Thomas Cook, who did Monster Brawl, which, if you're unfamiliar, is basically just like WrestleMania with all of your favorite Universal monsters.
Yeah, that was a fun one, too.
And The Horde from a few years ago, which was a riff on Ghost Hunter reality TV shows. He makes a lot of great Canadian indie horror movies. You should absolutely put this one on your watch list. The last one that I want to recommend was a Japanese movie called Missing. Kim didn't get a chance to see this one, which is a huge bummer because I think she would fucking love it. Also, kind of a sad movie. Like it's gonna make you feel sad and think about death and stuff. but it's a serial killer mystery. This was this girl's father thinks that he's spotted a serial killer on the bus. There's a reward for any information that would lead to his whereabouts, and then when he goes to find that serial killer, he goes missing. So now she is left to look for her dad and also the serial killer. That is just the tip of the iceberg with this story. It is fucking wild. You really delve into who the serial killer is, where he came from, what makes him tick. You learn more about every single character involved as time goes on. It is just like a fucking puzzle piece, like a chess match of a movie. And
I'm really pissed he didn't make me watch this. This sounds fantastic.
I kept trying. We've just been so goddamn busy. There has not been enough time to watch all of the good movies in the world. We still haven't seen Prey. The entire world is like, oh my God, greatest movie ever. I've watched it 5 times and we haven't even watched it once.
Yeah, and I keep seeing these articles like, biggest premiere ever for Hulu. And I'm like, meh.
Yeah, horror community. Everyone in the horror community reacts to Prey. And we're just over here like in the middle of the woods watching Friday the 13th again.
Speaking of which, we are releasing Friday the 13th episodes for our Patreon fiends. So go check those out if you're supporting us if you want to support us. That's at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. Is that everything?
I think that's kind of it.
Did
I feel like we're probably forgetting something, but goddamn. Yeah, it's been a very
week since you...
yep. It's been a busy week. We've been building furniture. We've been watching movies. We've been writing reviews. We've still got more of those to do. Fucking Popcorn Frights Festival's coming up. Fantastic.
I'm also trying to work on a screenplay.
We got dogs that constantly require attention.
Dogs that keep shitting.
And there's a meteor shower going on right now.
Yeah, actually, if you're listening to this, it is on the Thursday when it drops. It's the peak, so go fucking look outside. I think it's northeast.
Toward Perseus.
Stars are spooky, right? We can talk about stars.
You might see a fucking alien.
Yeah, or an alien, or just a shooting star, and you can make a wish and be like, I wish horror movies were more plentiful. And
there
then we'll
go.
All reap the benefits. Are you ready to talk about Lake Mungo?
Yeah. Let's get into it. Let's talk about some more viral found footage, and let's get real sad and talk about death and stuff. Here's the trailer for Lake Mungo.
I feel like something bad is going to happen to me. It hasn't reached me yet, but it's on its way.
The normally tranquil setting of Ararat's mountain is joining taken too soon.
10 days after Ellie's funeral, stuff started happening around the house. Sounds seemed to come from Ellie's old room.
They didn't really relent, so I thought, well, I'll just set up a camera to, you know, see anything. I looked back and there was footage of a figure moving across the hallway.
The image was quite unsettling because it certainly looked like Alice.
Don't you close your eyes?
I usually videotape my sessions. Something was happening inside that house and I wanted to find out what it was.
We checked the tapes.
There was a ghost in our house.
Alice kept secrets. She kept the fact she kept secrets a secret.
Something bad is going to happen to me. It hasn't reached me yet, but it's on its way. And it's getting closer.
Lake Mungo is currently sitting at a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 3.5 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
So Lake Mungo, we had both seen this previously, probably closer to when it had come out. I remember enjoying it, but I didn't remember anything about the movie.
Nope, don't remember a damn thing.
Yeah, all I could remember was that photograph of the backyard with the girl in the corner. And when describing it to you, I was like, yeah, John, we need to do that viral found footage movie. You know, the one with the ghost in the yard? And you were like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, the problem is my brain, I'm realizing now, is remembering Lake Bodum. And I don't think there's a ghost in that movie. I think there's maybe a ghost story. Or it's a serial killer story? Right, that's what it is. So there was a huge clash in my head about what the fuck we were about to watch. But hey, you know, we're the whole idea behind both of these episodes is that these movies have at one time gone viral on TikTok because they keep finding a younger audience. Like, there's a newer audience finds these movies. They make challenges out of them. I'm really kind of surprised that this is a movie that has become a TikTok challenge.
I think it's less about the subject matter and more about the format, because found footage has this way of spreading through word of mouth and recommendation. And that's why there's always these little surges of these movies where it returns again, because somebody will talk about it and it'll remind you and you'll go see it and then you talk about it. There's an extra level of realness to it, which... Yeah. For a generation that's constantly trying to like up the ante and do the scariest thing or do the wildest thing or the weirdest thing or the most clickbaity thing, seeing a scary movie that feels real is a natural fit.
Yeah, I guess because it also has, it's a mockumentary format, you could pretend that it's real.
This movie has that going for it in that it does feel real. I would put it up there with Ghost Watch in nailing that.
Oh, yeah.
That we're watching a program. I'm watching a History Channel 1 hour ghost special when I watch Lake Mungo. And I don't know if I gave it that much credit the first time I watched it, how well acted it is.
Goddamn, right?
Yes, like the parents, the dad especially, his awkward laughs and how he maneuvers around his family. And even in photographs, he's standing so awkwardly in the back of his, like, standing with his family. It's so on point.
Yeah, found footage actors don't get enough credit because it's a completely different style of performing. And to make it look and feel real is so far left field. From left field, it's a hard left turn from actual performances in movies or on stage.
Well, yeah, because not only are you filming these mock interview style things where, you know, like you're set up in your house in the most like interesting window, wall, whatever, and you're looking off to the camera, to the interviewer at the side of the camera in that classic interview format. Mm-hmm. But then they're also filming reenactments of family footage with the dead girl and this birthday and dad's chasing Alice around with a lobster and things like that. And then there's also the family photographs. Like, we're seeing a lot of still images as well. So it's just like, here we are at the cabin. And there's layer upon layer upon layer of performance to make this feel real.
Yeah. And it really drives home what makes this movie so effective, which is also what makes it strange about it being an internet challenge, because it's not... It starts as being, ooh, scary, ghosts are real, and there's somebody in our house, and look what we're finding in these photographs. But it, you know, it peels back some of those layers and becomes this sad existential story about reaching out from the afterlife and trying to communicate with people, even while they're alive. Just the fact that you can't
connect.
You can't communicate with somebody that is literally in the same room with you.
There was a really wonderful moment of that when we are just talking to grandma.
Oh,
really
fuck,
briefly,
right?
And grandma's like planting in her garden in the most documentary way ever. She talks about how she wasn't able to like give herself fully to her daughter. And there are those moments where you're a parent and you're worried you're not doing enough for them, or you're not enough for them. Or
you're just not showing, like, you're not showing
being
enough
vulnerable
of yourself.
Enough. Yeah.
There we go. That's the word I'm looking for.
And for her to see that of her daughter with her daughter's daughter, with her granddaughter, it hits you right, not even in the heart, but like low in the gut. Like,
yeah.
This movie is aiming for that low, stressful anxiety feeling you get in your belly.
Surely the Germans have a word for it. You know, that feeling you have at the end of your life when you know you've made an irreparable mistake that can't be fixed.
I think I'm talking about ulcers, but I have a horror ulcer.
Yeah.
Because this movie is more eerie than it is scary. Like, if we're comparing the two films, Megan is Missing is a lot more conventionally scary.
Oh, yeah.
Both films, I would say, have very real life messages to them, or morals, or take home points.
Sure.
Required
reading.
Not required reading, but like extra reading.
Okay.
Like the feeling they leave you with at the end, they both have that. But Lake Mungo is so subtle. There are some scary moments. Like, there's a lot of ghost photography and zooming in and replaying things. And it is a very haunting movie. But apart from the imagery of Alice after they pull her out of the lake, there's no special effects beyond that, which I think makes it so wonderful. I don't think there's any CGI in the film. There's nothing added to it. This is a ghost story that could be filmed with five people in a house, which is so fucking magical.
I mean, you say could. I'm sure it was. I'm sure it's just five people in a house. Because it's a lot of just photographs that zoom in on something further in the background.
Well, what's
that you
scary
don't notice
is that we know the girl is dead, but for filming purposes, they're just like, okay, Alice, go stand with a blank expression in the corner of this room.
We're going to add some sound design underneath it. It's going to be real creepy. And like,
fake parents are having a seance. Just stand there all eerie and don't make a sound.
Yeah, I don't mean to be dismissive about it. It really fucking works.
No, it's genius.
It's amazing. It's great indie filmmaking because it costs nothing to do. And it's all done in post. So it's like there's craftsmanship to it. It really rattles you when you watch it. Like, you can feel the air getting sucked out of the room when you're seeing these ghosts show up. Like, it's slow and creeping, but it really, really works.
Yeah, and the film does kind of this reverse jump scare in that it tells you it's going to show you something scary. It shows you something scary, and then it stays there. And you just have to stare at it. So you're like, yeah, Here's a ghost image that we captured, and then they show you the ghost image that they captured, and then they keep showing you the ghost image that they captured.
But it's not like a scary face. It's not like the girl in the closet in the ring, right? It's just, oh, here's our daughter who we want to talk to. She's in the room, and it's kind of freaky.
That's what was so interesting for me in the early parts of this film when they talk about it as a haunting and the weird feeling they would have, because I don't think there was any point where they didn't think it was their daughter. But the fact
Good
that
point.
It was scary for everybody. Everybody
yeah.
was scared.
Like, no matter what, it's just like, oh, there's a fucking ghost in here. It's our daughter, but it's a ghost.
Yeah, and most often when you have you know, people being haunted either in real life or in cinema, and it's a family member. It's like, oh yeah, she keeps watch over me. You know, like sometimes she's a nuisance and she tips over my flour and spills it on the floor in the kitchen, but it's just her nature. You know what I mean? But everybody is thoroughly creeped out by this dead girl still being about.
Yeah. I think the thing that I found most interesting about this movie, on this rewatch, I'm basically watching it for the first time. It builds all of that tension and all of that unease. It's making itself a scary movie. And then, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes in, it's like, oh, and that's when we found out that our son was faking it all. And like every ghost we saw in a photograph or in a video was him doing trick photography or putting something in a mirror. So, you know, any of the feelings that you've had, like the hairs that are standing up on the back of your neck, are gone. That's such a bold fucking move to just be like, oh, and guess what? I'm just relieving you of all the tension that I've created in this movie. We're going back to square one, which is kind of cool, because if you're kind of freaked out, you get this like
safe zone.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, the movie's like barely half done. You know something else is going to happen, but they have to rebuild from there. I thought that was super impressive.
Yeah, it's very much like a roller coaster with a double hill. You know how normally when you're on a roller coaster, there's only one lift hill. You know,
oh, where, yeah, where you hit that spot and you're like, ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk,
yes,
ka-chunk, ka-chunk,
where you're hooked ka-chunk up to the chain and you got to go all the way up and you're waiting. You're like, this ride's going to start soon. It's going to be dope. This movie has a second lift hill.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it.
It's fun because there's a portion of the film where we toy with the fact that this might not be a paranormal film at all, and we kind of turn onto this road where you're like, oh fuck, is this true crime? Did this neighbor fucking kill this girl?
Well, yeah, because the daughter is like a straight up Laura Palmer character.
Totally. This is a Laura Palmer scenario. Yeah. We are in this is a Laura Palmer alert.
They find videotapes wrapped in plastic. They find a diary. They find out that, you know, they don't necessarily find out that she's like running cocaine.
Yeah, she drowned.
Damn, I didn't even think about that. This is the Australian Laura Palmer. Oh.
Well, and there's this eerie sense of foreboding that the character has, like this sense of doom.
Okay, so I didn't even want to get into that. The fact that we have like her having dreams about the future that she's not currently living in and stuff. Like, it is straight up like a fire walk with me, like, a Mungo walk with me.
Save big on all your back to school needs. All in the Kroger app. Get 3 for $10 on select Kellogg's Giant Size Cereal with your card. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Damn, we got to do that movie in the podcast sometime.
Anyway. I fucking love that shit, though. I eat that shit.
Isn't that
up.
The best?
Oh, you can never do too much foreboding outside of time. Death is coming for us all, but we all kind of, you'll feel it in your bones. Like,
yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That is one of the, I think that's maybe why I always enjoy David Lynch movies, because he really plays in that shit.
Yeah, like he likes to fuck with time and like,
and just like the cosmic, the cosmic sense that there is something else happening and that you're tapping into it and you're kind of ignoring it. I mean, they're doing all of that in this movie. I think it's on YouTube. There is an incredible short film that David Lynch made. I think it's I think it's less than a minute long. It's actually a silent film using a camera from the silent film era. Long story. It's going to take longer to explain this fucking short than it is to actually watch it. Just go to YouTube. It's called Premonitions of an Evil Deed, or Premonitions Following an Evil Deed. But it's essentially like a girl dies and then the cops come to tell this woman that her daughter is dead, but she knows about it 10 seconds before the doorbell rings. And like, I love that idea. I think we've talked about it before in movies where the Final Destination, where maybe you know you're about to die, before you die, but you never have the opportunity to
you don't
tell
get
anybody.
To cheat death.
You don't get to cheat death, and you never get to tell anybody that you experienced that. It's an experience that only you have. Like, spoiler alert for a movie from the 90s, if you want to skip ahead 15 seconds, or also a short film from the 1960s, if you want to skip ahead to another 15 seconds. 12 Monkeys, or Legette, like, his entire life is haunted by this.
I haven't seen 12 Monkeys, so don't spoil this.
Okay, fine.
Well, now it's spoiled.
I've watched it with you.
But I wasn't paying attention.
I'll wait another 10 years before I show it to you. Anyway, the point is, he's haunted by this image of watching a guy die his entire life. And then at the end of the movie, he realizes that he's the person who dies, and he dies in front of himself as a child. Like, he literally watches himself die and then grows up.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. And like, I'm fascinated with that idea. And they're kind of playing with that a little bit in Lake Mungo is what I'm getting at. And how do you ever explain that to anybody? Especially somebody who's going through it, right?
So while we're on tangents, I have one too.
Yay, tangents!
So not too long ago, we listened to a podcast. I don't know if you remember this story, but it's from Snap Judgment has a podcast called Spooked.
This is the scariest, creepiest, David Lynchiest thing ever.
Yeah, and this is a very real podcast. You can go listen to this
story. I'm going to see if I can find this episode while you're talking.
Yeah, you find the title while I'm telling the story. So it's a cop telling the story, and this is a very real kind of ghost story that he's relaying that happened. So one day while he was on the force, he gets a call, you know, like the old lady in town has called the police because there's a bird in her house and she can't get him out. And of course, you know, it's a small town, so he goes anyways, and he goes to help this woman get the bird out of her house. And he does. He scares the bird out the front door, and when he opens the door, the bird flies out and breaks its neck on a tree.
Yeah, doesn't she say something about, like, a bird being in your house is bad luck?
Or it's like a bad omen or something.
Yeah.
But then immediately afterwards, she's like so haunted and so pained, and he's like, what so sorry, I'm sorry this bird died, but I got it out of your house. And she's like, no, then when a bird dies, doesn't it mean a loved one is dying?
We are ruining this story.
It's a lot of superstitions like that, but basically she believes this bird dying is an omen that someone she loves is gonna die. And literally later that day, the cop is dealing with an accident. It's a car accident. What is it? The car drives into a tree, literally the exact same way that the bird died. And he finds out that it's her son, and he has to go back on the same shift to go tell that woman that her son has died. And when he gets there, back to her house, he goes and he rings on the doorbell, and he doesn't even have to tell her. She just closes the door in his face.
Oh, man.
Because she fucking knows already.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
But yeah, that ghost story has stuck with me since we heard it. And I, like,
it's
filed under those fucking inevitable possibilities that death is one of those things that transcends our understanding of time and space. And
yeah,
it's the only thing that can knock us out of it.
There is a great quote in this movie that's like, death is a mean, unstoppable machine. I can't remember. It's just like it comes for us all, and there's nothing you could do about it. By the way, heads up, it's that episode of Spooked from Snap Judgment. It's Campfire Tales 8. It's a Roman numeral, so it's V111.
Oh, it's such a good story. But yeah, listen to it when, just listen to it.
listen to it real late at night when you're alone in,
like,
the house and you're worried about where your kids are.
There's no good time to listen to it.
No, it's pretty
haunting.
We always listen
to that podcast on the road, and like before we go to bed when we're camped out at truck stops.
The absolute best time.
In the middle of fucking nowhere.
This is also when we watched Unsolved Mysteries. The worst was the day that we watched an episode about a couple that gets killed in their RV. That was fun.
At a truck stop where we were parked.
In Ontario, Canada.
Not that truck stop, but a truck stop maybe nearby.
Yeah, if our life was a movie, that's the night we would have died, right? Oh, God. And then the detectives would have found our fucking,
like,
tablet, and they were
like,
wow, like, that's kind of...
they knew. We did not know.
No, we know nothing. Just like all human beings, especially ones that are trying to communicate with ghosts.
My favorite part in, like, Mungo that exemplifies this...
People
weird.
Are going to think that was a hard edit where I cut stuff out. Like, you just immediately got back into the episode.
You're welcome. I'm an expert at this. My favorite part in Lake Mungo, where this kind of eerie time loop happens is early on in the film, the mom's talking about this recurring nightmare she has where it's so scary that when she wakes up, she can't open her eyes.
Yeah, and she starts going for walks at night to avoid going to bed.
Yeah,
like, because that's how scary this fucking dream is.
She, her daughter, who this is after she's died, walks into the room and she's soaking wet and she just stands at the end of their bed. She can kind of, even when she wakes up, she can still feel her there. And so yeah, she refuses to open her eyes. They end up seeing a psychic who helps the mom kind of deal with her fears and her worries and stuff. And they do a lot of hypnosis. But we find out even later that the daughter was also going to the same psychic and was having...
Like months before she died.
Obviously, she wasn't going as a ghost,
she
John.
She makes an appointment. Anyway.
Confirmed haunting. Yeah. But the daughter was having the reverse dream.
Yeah, where she's walking down the hallway to her mother's room and she's standing at the foot of their bed.
But she's in this weird state of existence. Like, that's the most scary thing for her is that she feels something off and wrong about her body.
She's like out of place. She doesn't know she's dead. She doesn't know. I think maybe she mentioned that she was wet, but it's not like she knows that her face is deformed or that she's drowned. But there is this strong sense that something is wrong. Like, she's just filled with dread and she doesn't know why. And I guess the idea would be, if I was having that fucking dream, I would think that I was going to my parents' room because something scared me.
Like, or I had a nightmare and I just needed help.
Yeah. Man, that is so fucking rough. At the end of the movie, they intercut those two interviews and you're basically hearing the exact same story from both sides. And it's so fucking hurtful. I don't know. Like, it just makes me sad.
It is sad because you get the feeling from the point of view of the living that kind of everything's calm now, and maybe that Alice just wanted them to know her story or know more about her or what was going on or kind of her state of mind before she passed away. But then when you have the both of their stories laid on top of each other, Alice is still there.
Yeah.
And it's very, very sad.
Yeah, it's almost like you would like the narrative of a ghost story is that you need to learn about the ghost and hear what they have to say and essentially release their spirit. And then, you know, everything's happy and like they even say in the movie that they really felt like a family again and they were hanging out and having dinners and eventually they moved away. But as you go back through these photos, it's revealed that Alice is still in the house and she's with them at birthday parties and she's in the window watching them leave because they take a photograph before they move. And it's just like, fuck, this is some like horrible like Haunting of Hill House shit.
But maybe what it's about isn't releasing the spirit so that it can move on, but I think it's releasing the spirit in that the spirit has come to a point where they understand that you're going to leave them. Like, there's a calmness in the fact that they're coming to terms with the fact that they are a ghost and that they're going to exist alone forever.
Oh, not to ruin your night, but is that not a narrative that the living ascribe? Like, that's just a comforting thing to say. Like, oh, you know, we needed to accept the fact that she was gone. She needs to understand that she's no longer with us. Like, what if she's just stuck in that fucking house forever?
But I think she is. I think twisted about it. But you go to this place of just eternal melancholy. Like, there's no more anger or fear about it. It's just switching over. I think the anger is what gives the ghost like the power of being able to be seen in footage, in film, in photographs and stuff. And that dims as the spirit becomes more melancholy and comes to this endless gloomy terms.
Oh, man.
That they're going to be there forever. Kind of like a ghost story.
Yeah, where that's exactly what I was thinking
about. The ghost just continues on and on and on and everything becomes a time lapse, which Lake Mungo has a lot of.
So I'm glad you said that because Lake Mungo is not where she dies.
No.
No, I think Lake Withers or something like that.
They call it the dam. Okay, so it's like an artificial lake.
Okay, yeah. So it's just a man-made lake where people go. Withers is the name of a guy who takes a photograph where we think we see her in the background, but it's later revealed to be her brother. Lake Mungo is where it's a crater, right? It's a crater lake. It's where she goes on a school trip. And it's where it seemed inconsequential at the time, but it's where she went and lost her phone. And I remember them saying that she like came back from the trip and was like really weird or anything. But some footage comes out from one of the girls that was at the trip with.
Yeah, this is one of my only issues with the film is that so much of the movie, like at least the order of events, relies on seeing things in footage that was there a long time.
Yeah.
Like like the neighbor guy who's taking the photo who had the girl in it, but then there were other people who took a photo who had the aftermath of that moment, and it ended up being the brother, and like that was all great, but then we do it again with this school trip where the girls in school are taking a video and then we see Alice in the background burying something.
Yeah, well, I think it took a long time for the parents to see that footage, because like when you watch it on its face, it doesn't really seem like anything. Like, we do see that the girls are drinking and, you know, somebody gets spooked at some point, but they're out in the middle of the fucking darkness.
Yeah, they're just fucking around.
Yeah, it's the fact that they have these questions about their daughter and they keep finding stuff that she's left behind. Like the videotape of her having sex with the neighbors. I say having sex, but in reality, like, who knows what that fucking situation was like. Those people fucking skipped town and disappeared immediately. They were probably taking advantage of her. She's she is 100% like a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
You know, her diary being hidden away. So, like, when they see her daughter burying something, they're gonna go, like, well, maybe that's something else we gotta look for.
Okay, I know, pin on the burying stuff. The whole neighbor thing seems so inconsequential to the movie, but also seems so fucking important. Because when it comes up, you're like, oh, they fucking killed her. But then it's not that at all.
Yeah.
You could almost cut that out entirely.
I think you could if you wanted to, but it really helps drive home that they don't know each other.
Yeah, and that she was a girl with secrets.
Yeah, and she was a girl who kept her secrets secret. Very Laura Palmer of her, right? Without the Lake Mungo moment of the movie, though, I don't think it fully tips into horror.
Yeah.
Like, that's what... Like, it would just be a very sad ghost drama.
Yes.
Like, an incredible ghost drama, but not quite a horror movie, because we still... Like, we've completely ditched the idea that what we're seeing is ghosts. We're just haunted by the memory of our daughter. But when we go... When they find her phone that she has buried out in Lake Mungo, along with a few other items, they find a video she's taken. It's crystal clear quality that we all remember from flip phones.
From an old flip Nokia.
Or, yeah, it was like a BlackBerry Curve or something, right? It's her out in the darkness, and a figure is walking toward her, and then we realize that it's this fucking gnarly face of her own dead body. Like, she meets herself out there. For a minute, I almost thought that, like, that doppelganger of hers killed her and then returned and went home.
And they're just eternally fighting for the body?
Yeah, like, that's where they were actually going to find out there. Can you imagine if they found a second body?
Yeah, at first I thought she was looking in water because the footage was so bad.
Yeah. Well, she's a drowned girl.
And I thought she was seeing the dead body as her reflection. But when you realize that it's a crater lake, you're like, well, maybe the film grain becomes the water. And so it's like, that's the lake, the footage. Like,
man, it's actually kind of awesome that this happens in a crater lake where there isn't any water. I don't know, something about that seems so great.
Like through a mirror kind of thing, through a looking glass mirror of what happens. Yeah, it's so essentially she's been haunted by her own ghost.
Yeah, by her own death. I think they say that it was her own future coming out to meet her, I think is what they said, which is terrifying. Man, what's really interesting about that stuff too is that she never talks to anybody about any of it. Like, that's a fucking horrifying thing. I guess, yeah. Like, where do you start? How do you tell people this? How do you, like, you start talking about the dreams, and then you start talking about the weird shit that happened, and, like, how do you prove that? No one's gonna believe you. But the question that would gnaw at me constantly if I was her parents is that, you know, if she had have talked about that, would it have happened at all? Like, is the fact that we kept it a secret the reason she died?
I think that's kind of what's so romantically melancholic about it, though, is that she still goes to the dam. She still goes in the water.
Well, I don't think the ghost was just like, on December 12th,
I know, to go to the dam. But, like, she didn't change her habits.
That's
or change
true.
Because it's almost like she knows she's on the train, and yeah, there's nothing she can do to stop it. No matter who she tells, she's already like that's and I think her leaving her favorite bracelet and her watch behind is kind of her saying that, like, okay, well, I'm gonna,
it's a time capsule.
I'm
dead.
I don't need these anymore.
Yeah, she's burying herself more or less. She knows it's over, and maybe it's also just so that way when her parents find it, they know it's hers, I guess. But, like, isn't that all just such a darkly poetic metaphor about life, you know, and about tragedy that befalls some people? Like, the fact that if this was just a story about a girl who was sexually assaulted and committed suicide, you would say, like, well, if she had have talked to us about it, then she wouldn't have been alone and suffering about it, or we could have gone to the police and gotten justice for her and helped her along this road where she wouldn't have met such a tragic end.
Like Laura Palmer!
Like fucking Laura Palmer! But, you know, you add a paranormal aspect to it, like Laura Palmer, and it becomes a completely
was
different
it a paranormal?
Story.
It was like a super normal.
Look, there's a lot going on in Twin Peaks, and we don't have time.
The log knew.
Yeah. Yeah, just the idea that if we don't share our life with people, then people don't know who we are.
Like, you're a ghost already?
Oh, man, right? Like, it's a very subtle adult movie. Like, it really deals with shit that you don't fully understand until you've got regrets or you've made mistakes
or
you've
lost people.
Or
you're dealing with grief. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really great horror movie about grieving. Like, I thought I was going to have a hard time watching it this time.
Yeah.
And these are my favorite kind of movies. These are my favorite things. But obviously, like, I'm going through some stuff now, and I thought it was going to be really hard for me. And I think I liked it more.
Oh, yeah. Well, it gives you, you've got a little more context for it. And that's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning, about how I was surprised that this was a movie that, you know, maybe went viral on TikTok with, I assume, a younger audience. It doesn't feel like the kind of movie that kids would eat up. Something like Megan is Missing is dark, and is, at the very least, there's kids that are their age group on there, I guess.
Don't you remember being like 18, 19?
Oh, and nihilistic just, as fuck.
Well, and just trying to find the things that would make you feel something, and like going to the edge of that cliff of feeling and thinking and pondering. This would have been such a fucking kryptonite for me.
Well, that's probably also why we sought it out.
I would have watched it every day and been like, guys, we gotta talk about death.
Well, that's the 100%, right? That's the teenage experience. It's just like, why are we talking about this shit? I think, like, we've talked about it in the podcast before. Like, that's why teenagers rebel. Because they're just like, why does nobody want to discuss the fact with me that we're all gonna die and I wasn't consulted about it?
Yeah, as a kid, you're just trying to find the long enough crayon to stick in your ear and scratch that part in the dark recesses of your brain to, like, tickle it and wake it up a little bit.
What color would you use?
Black.
You'd have to, right? And you'd feel like, if you were a ghost standing over your own body, you'd be like, I mean, it's a little cliche, but, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. This stimulates, I think, a pattern of thought that's existential and that you'll never have an answer for. Like, this is stuff that we've been debating as humans forever and ever, and we're going to continue to.
That's why it's eternally fascinating.
We don't get to cross that river of consciousness and come back and talk about it.
And that's kind of exactly what the character Ray is, the psychiatrist in the movie, too.
He's not a psychiatrist.
Why did I say that? Why did I say that?
He is a psychic.
I'm like, he's got the answers. It's something that starts with a P. Who knows?
I loved him as a psychic.
He was
a psychic that, like, I would totally go for flapjacks with.
Yeah, flapjacks. Well, the other thing is that he's just like, I don't fucking know. You don't know. Who knows? Like, that's his thing. He's not just like, I have the answers and I can help you get them. He's just like, hey, none of us have the answers. Let's just live in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a darker movie than I remember it being. And maybe it's just because we're a little bit older now that we're watching it now. Who knows? But it is an effective movie? It affected me, is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't already, it's going on the top fan footage list for me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, this is one that I am probably going to be recommending from here on out.
Agreed. And I you know, to the film's credit, like, I've seen, and to the horror audience's credit, I guess, like, I've seen it pop up on lists like, oh, you want, like, best fan footage movies, best mockumentaries? You got to check this one out.
You want to fuck yourself up?
And I was just like, I remember liking that, but I don't remember it being, like, greatest movie of all time material. I was wrong. My memory? Fallible.
Yep. totally fallible.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Yeah.
What's how you rating this one?
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 4.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's a solid rating.
I told you, it's giving me an ulcer. Or affecting the ulcer I already have.
I'm giving it a 3.5. I think it's incredibly well made and effective. I think I just wanted it to... I don't know, like, I felt like, who fuck, I'm not gonna sit here and say, like, why, but, like, yeah, I don't think it's a perfect movie. I think it's fucking incredible. 3.5 out of 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a blast. I'm really happy we did this fucking episode, because it has been, one, a while since we've done found footage on the podcast,
yeah.
But two, a while since we've revisited movies that I didn't quite remember or
yeah.
give credence to the first time I watched them.
Hell yeah.
And I have a new favorite movie now.
Yeah, honestly... A great double bill, because Megan is missing. We had to watch, like, a dumb comedy after that movie.
And it was late. Like, we should have gone to bed, but we were like, need to up the spirits.
You're like, I need a fucking laugh. I actually think, I mean, I still suggest that, like, triple bill this movie. Like, Megan is missing, and then just, like, a few episodes of a dumb show that you really like, and then watch this one. But, like, they go hand in hand. I'm proud of this double bill. Congratulations, Kim. Thank you so much for putting this together. This was all you.
Yeah, what a downer birthday episode.
Yeah, you know.
Let us know what you thought of both the films, Megan is Missing and Lake Mungo, and your favorite found footage films. If you've got some really moody, melancholic movies that you think we haven't seen yet, found footage or otherwise, it doesn't have to be found footage, but anything that that tickles that brain with a crayon, tweet at us at NOFS Podcast or find us in our Discord server at nofspodcast.com/discord.
Nightmare on Film Street is a free podcast, always has been, always will be, and that's made possible by the generous support of our patrons. Right now, Fiend Club supporters can enjoy the Midnight at Camp Blood podcast series. We recently wrapped our franchise review of every movie in the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, and we are doing the exact same thing right now for the Friday the 13th franchise. We just released the first episode last week. This week, we'll be putting out part 2, and we'll be putting them out every Friday until we've reviewed every movie. We're doing the remake. Don't think we're skipping the remake. The remake's pretty okay.
And Freddy vs. Jason again.
We're doing it again. So you can enjoy those bonus episodes and all of the bonus content in exchange for supporting the show over at nofspodcast.com/fiendclub. But until next time, I'm John.
I'm Kim.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive. But we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.